Hello. Good Wednesday morning to you. It's so nice to have you with us on Air Talk this morning. I'm education reporter Kyle Stokes. I'm in today and tomorrow for Larry Mantle as he continues his week off. And we have a packed show for you today. We're going to talk about children going back to live with their parents, or maybe vice versa. Maybe you're part of this trend, and if so, we'll want to hear from you. We're also going to talk about the digital divide in schools, get an update on the roller coaster that has been the 2020 census count. And in about 20 minutes, we're going to take your questions on COVID-19. But first, all schools can now officially reopen in Orange County, and some teachers say schools are not ready for it. Yesterday was the first day OC schools could resume on-campus in-person instruction if they so chose, so long as schools take some precautions like requiring most students to wear masks and for everyone to honor physical distance restrictions. And we're not talking about special waivers here. We're talking not about those small invitation-only groups. This is, you know, basically blanket permission for schools to reopen, albeit with some limits. And Orange County parents, teachers, students, I want to know how you feel about it. Are you ready to send your children back? If you are ready to set foot back on campus, or if you're not, give us a call, 866-893-KPCC. That's 866-893-5722. Go to the Air Talk page, kpcc.org, to leave a comment. You can send us a tweet as well. Find us on Twitter at AirTalk. I'd like to know how you're feeling about it, and so would my colleague on the KPCC and LAist education team, fellow K-12 reporter Carla Javier, who joins us now. Hi, Carla.
Hi there, Kyle.
So what has changed now, Carla? Why can Orange County schools reopen now?
So the state has this tiered system for reopening. You may have heard of it referred to as this color system. So the most restrictive tier was the purple tier. It's the one that LA County remains in to this day. But in Orange County, they've actually had positivity rates and case rates that qualify it for the second most restrictive tier, which you might have heard called the red tier. And I'm quoting from the chart from the state here now. The state refers to this as the tier with, quote, substantial risk of community transmission. And not only did Orange County make it to this tier, they were able to stay here for 2 weeks without going back to purple, which means per the state's reopening framework, any K-12 school could reopen if they wanted to. Like you said, no waivers or special permission needed from public health officials.
Got it. So public health conditions have gotten better, so OC schools can reopen now. But are OC schools going to reopen now? And if so, which districts are headed for reopening soon?
Yeah, that's a big question. Some of the private schools have already gone back. Fountain Valley Elementary students went back yesterday. Because districts don't have to provide any type of formal notification or application to reopen, it's kind of hard to tell from the healthcare agency, but the County Department of Education told us that at least this week, Cypress School District is welcoming students back today. Irvine Unified has plans to go back tomorrow, as does Tustin Unified. And then there are some districts like Saddleback Valley Unified, Newport Mesa Unified, and the county's biggest district, Capistrano Unified, that are planning to go back in some form next week.
Got it. And since you mentioned Irvine Unified, we should mention we reached out to Irvine Unified. We got a statement from that district that says, in part, although in-person instruction will look different due to health and safety guidelines, students will have the opportunity to engage with their teachers, staff, and friends in a way that has not been possible since early March. We look forward to students returning to our campuses and classrooms, and we stand ready to meet their academic and social-emotional needs and development. As part of our commitment to the health and safety of students and staff, Irvine Unified has allocated more than $21 million for health and safety planning. That's according to a statement from the Irvine Unified School District. Now, Carla, I mean, there have been, you know, attempts, movements from districts toward reopening, whether it was through that sort of now kind of irrelevant waiver process, at least irrelevant in Orange County, and others that have pursued reopening prior to this. And I'm curious to know how those have gone, because I understand some districts have flirted with the idea and then pulled back.
Yeah. So in Garden Grove Unified, they had been planning to reopen in early to mid October, but had heard from a number of parents with questions about how that was going to happen. So the district announced that they're going to push back that reopening. And it's important to note, Kyle, that, you know, just because schools have this permission to reopen now from public health authorities doesn't mean that they have to necessarily. Ultimately, that decision is made in the case of public schools by the districts or by, you know, private schools themselves.
And one of the school districts that has decided in this case not to reopen as yet is Santa Ana Unified, and the superintendent of Santa Ana Unified joins us on the line, Jerry Almendarez. Superintendent, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Yes, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
What is your sort of thought process right now? You have this permission to reopen. I'm sure there are students where there's need for some in-person instruction. Why? I understand you feel now is not the time, or there is no return date set as yet. Why not move forward with reopening at this point?
Well, unfortunately, in the city of Santa Ana, our COVID rates are still in the high numbers, high single digits. So we do not meet that threshold in order for our clock to start ticking to eventually return to stage two. So we are, although the numbers are decreasing and looking very positively, we are preparing to open up in a hybrid model, given that things are safe for students and for staff to return. And we're looking at that possibly in the next couple of weeks to have a little bit more accurate information in regards to a timetable.
I think it's probably worth putting context for people who aren't familiar with Santa Ana Unified, just, you know, how many students in your community are, you know, sort of from higher need communities. I mean, potentially, and I guess this is a question I have for you, is it that the virus is hitting your families harder than they might be, you know, just across the highway and in say in Irvine, where you know it's a higher income community, maybe a little bit fewer people who have who are working in jobs potentially where they're at risk of catching the virus.
Correct. Yes, we've had some pretty extensive challenges here when it comes to the COVID positive rates within the district and the city limits. Exactly for that reason, we have a lot of blue collar families that are working, a lot of them in the service industry, and unfortunately, they're getting contacting the virus at high rates. And then a lot of times they're living in multifamily dwellings, which ultimately spreads the virus to other family members.
How do you navigate the dilemma that I'm sure you feel very acutely, that there are just students for whom distance learning does not work? You know, we've seen, you know, that there are huge gaps for special education students, English learners in particular. I mean, and there are just, you know, students without any immutable characteristics that just, they learn better when they're in person. How do you navigate that dilemma of health versus the need to make sure that they just don't have a wasted year of education?
Yeah, and that's one of our biggest challenges and one of our biggest frustrations. I mean, we do have very high need families and high need students, and you know, unfortunately, the COVID rates and the requirements from the CDC are what they are, so we're very limited in our responses. However, as the governor comes out with other opportunities like the learning labs or the cohorts, those are areas that we're pursuing. Ultimately, our ideal preference would be to get back into the classroom. But unfortunately, the rates are still high enough for us to remain in distance learning. So we do have vans that we're using that have Wi-Fi capacity that are making it a little bit easier for families that have spotty connectivity. But again, there's nothing like the face-to-face instruction that we would prefer so desperately to be in. Right now.
Right. You mentioned spotty connectivity, and coming up later in the show, I should just say we're going to be talking with the superintendent of LA County, LA County's Office of Education, and with an organization here about the digital divide and how that's affecting education issues. But sticking with Superintendent Jerry Almendarez of the Santa Ana Unified School District, you mentioned in your last answer there cohort instruction, referring to these new rules that allow small kind of invite-only groups of students back. And while they don't specify what students are supposed to come back, that the idea is that the highest need populations, students potentially like, you know, special education students, students with disabilities, could be invited back. Where are you at in Santa Ana Unified on that process? Have you started to welcome students back under those terms?
No, we haven't, but we're planning to. And we have a few more details to work out with our bargaining units, but we are definitely eager to begin that process and also to make sure that we ensure a safe environment for our students as well as our staff.
Do you have a time frame on when you expect that to happen?
You know, I mean, I don't. We would like it to happen sooner rather than later, but there are a few things that we have to work out with our labor groups in order to get to that point.
All right. Superintendent Jerry Almendarez, thank you so much for joining us on Air Talk this morning. Appreciate you weighing in.
Thank you.
And I want to turn back to Carla Javier, the reporter on our K-12 education team who has been covering the issue of reopening most closely. And Carla, I mean, break down the public opinion here for me. We're hearing from a district where it doesn't seem like reopening is a good option at this moment. But I'm curious to know what you're hearing. What's the feeling on the ground? Are parents itching to get back and teachers and students itching to get back into the classroom? Or is there more concern about the state of public health in Orange County as these reopening decisions are getting made?
You know, it's interesting, Kyle, because, you know, anyone I've talked to, teacher or parent, you know, agrees, you know, they want students to be able to go back to school. They want it to be done safely. The difference in opinion, I think, really boils down to the when and the how, you know, as the reopening becomes more, as it's happening now, we've heard from teachers at different districts that are planning to reopen, issuing statements about their concerns, whether it's about the safety protocols that their districts have promised, to like how their concerns about hybrid learning and how that's going to work and if that's going to be a viable educational option for their students. I've talked to parents who have been really excited about the reopening, and I've talked to parents who are really concerned about it too. So I think there's really a diversity of opinions on this in Orange County.
And I want to hear your opinions about it. Give us a call at 866-888-5722, kpcc.org. OC parents, students, teachers, are you itching to get back, or is now not the right time to reopen schools? As we've been discussing, the county's public health, the sort of overall public health conditions have taken Orange County out of the most serious tier of the state's system into the second most serious. And now that we are in the red category of public health conditions in Orange County, that means that schools are able to reopen, albeit with some restrictions. So tell us how you feel about that. 866-888-5722, kpcc.org, on the Air Talk page to give us your thoughts on the potential of your school reopening. One school district that we want to turn to is the district where Eric Silberman teaches. He's a science teacher at Aliso Niguel High School. He's been a teacher there for 20 years, a parent of two students in the district. Eric, thank you so much for being on this morning.
Thanks for having me.
What are your thoughts about the potential of reopening?
I think we should wait until at least second semester. And in fact, that was on our board's agenda for tonight until they took it off yesterday. They proposed that we go back second semester for high school at least, but open the campuses for sports and clubs and students who need help and that sort of thing. But without our input, they just removed it from the board agenda, and so they won't even be discussing that tonight. So we'll be back on as high school back on October 13th, which many of us are not happy about.
Yeah, and just to be clear, I just want to make sure that you're in the Capistrano Unified School District.
Yes, Capistrano Unified, correct.
And Capistrano Unified, and maybe Carla can correct me if I'm wrong here, but that Capistrano Unified was one of the school districts that had a hybrid plan before the governor came out this summer and said that school districts were not going to be reopening at the very beginning of the school year, would not be able to open campuses. So this is, am I right in saying, Eric, that this is something that your school district has sort of been pondering for some time?
Yeah, they've talked about it since the end of last school year. They've been working on it all summer. The plans have been changing day to day. And one of the biggest concerns, I think, about the hybrid model is what has been sold to the parents is not exactly what the hybrid model is going to look like. The response that we're hearing from the parents is they want to go back. They want to hang out with their friends. They need to see each other and be in groups and do labs, which is nothing what our hybrid model is like. I mean, currently online, we're teaching every single day. They have a totally normal schedule like they did last year. I see all of my students. I can break them out into groups. They can talk to each other. when they go back to the hybrid model, we'll see them 40% less than we see them now. There'll be no help in tutorial. There'll be no help individually with any students because that time has just been taken away from us. So if a student has an issue with something or they need some concept clarified, there's no time for that anymore. And we completely understand that all of the kids and the parents and the students and the teachers want to go back full time. We want to be with our kids. But health aside, if we focus on just the education, they're losing the education that they would be getting online when we go back to the hybrid model.
It's interesting to hear you talk about that because it's almost like the issue is not necessarily the health conditions. It's more that the academic program hasn't been figured out. Am I reducing your argument too much there?
No.
And correct me if I'm wrong, please.
You're right on. And from the board standpoint, they don't seem to worry or show concern for teachers' health. That is a huge issue. But if we just focus on the education, education is going to go downhill in our current hybrid model, the way they have it set up. I mean, it's 90 minutes per teacher per week that each student is losing, which is up to 5 hours of class time, face time with the student. And again, they're selling it as you're going to have group work and talk to your friends. None of that will happen. We're having half the class sizes, everyone in masks, 6 feet apart if possible. The teacher is in the front of the room behind a screen, and there will be no interaction that the parents are thinking. Plus, a lot of the parents and students want to get back for sports and for clubs and those sorts of things. And in agenda item 38 that was taken off the agenda for tonight, that was all included. As of September 28th, we could go back. Sports, if they're allowed to by the state, they can continue. Clubs can continue on campus. If there's a student that needs help from their teachers, they can come on campus. And if they're a student with an IEP or 504 plan or a special ed student, they're already on campus. So that was planned for, and for some reason, it was just taken off the agenda tonight. So that is very disheartening. And the disconnect, I think, is the disconnect between what is being communicated to the parents and the students and what is actually happening is the biggest issue.
Yeah, let me bring in for a second our education reporter, Carla Javier, who's been covering this. And Carla, I understand from your previous reporting that the Capistrano Unified was one of the school districts that had applied for a waiver back when that was the most relevant, you know, consideration for reopening, but that they were denied because there was low support among teachers and staff. I mean, what would district officials say about the sort of concerns that Eric is raising here?
You know, district officials have really emphasized the desire of students and families to go back, and the social, emotional kind of benefits to doing so, recognizing that it's been a difficult time for students, having to stay at home, being more isolated. Those are things that the district has been emphasizing in their response to this.
Eric Silberman is with us. He's a science teacher at Aliso Niguel High School, and we're talking about reopening OC schools. And Eric, just how is distance learning going? I mean, I think people have a lot of a sort of lingering image of last, you know, spring where, you know, attendance was, you know, sometimes quite spotty, you know, students weren't logging in. We're hearing all of these different horror stories about connectivity and so forth. How have things been going this semester so far?
For my classes, they are awesome. Can I just go attach talk about the waiver for 1 second? That was a complete setup by our board and our district administration. There's three different places when you apply for a waiver that say you must consult with teacher groups. And we were never consulted. They applied knowing they would be rejected so they could blame on the teachers. But back to, and you can look all of that up. It's clear on the state website when it says, when you're applying for a waiver, three different places on there say you must consult, you must write down when you've consulted and all those things. But for me, it's going great. I have 208 students, 6 periods. We meet, we talk, we break out in groups. And obviously it's not perfect. And we know that we're learning to do the online thing, but it's a lot better. It's 100 times better than it was when we were just thrown into this. We had time to plan. I might have one kid absent per period per day, and that's it.
Yeah.
All the cameras on, they're all smiling, or they're giving me confused looks, or you can see what they're thinking when we're in groups, which is totally different than it's going to be when they're in class with masks, all facing the same direction, not able to talk to each other. And so
yeah,
it's a huge difference from when it was. And it's much different and much better than the hybrid model could be.
It's interesting because I do think that the image of how last spring went is sort of endearing, but hearing that it's not quite as bad as doing stand-up comedy in an empty room is somewhat encouraging. Carla, I just want to turn back to you with one last quick question before we go in about the 30 seconds we have. It was striking to see in your story about this that Orange County's public health director said that he doesn't have the resources to ensure that schools are complying with all of the guidelines around reopening schools, the masks, the distancing, and so forth. Who is making sure that these reopenings, that, you know, if and when they happen, happen safely?
Yeah, so the healthcare agency director, Clayton Chow, said really they're depending on parents and the public to let them know if a district or a school is promising one thing in their plans but actually doing something else. And he said that's because, you know, the agency really doesn't have the manpower to visit every school, and that's not normally like a relationship that public health authorities and schools have with each other in Orange County.
Carla Javier is a K-12 education reporter for KPCC and LAist and the person who has been on point for us as we cover the school reopening story here with us as we discuss OC schools reopening. And Eric Silberman has been with us as well. My thanks to him for joining us, a science teacher at Aliso Niguel High School for 20 years and a parent of two in the district. Eric, thank you for your time this morning. And also my thanks to Jerry Almendarez, the superintendent for schools at the Santa Ana Unified School District, as the OC schools get the green light to reopen if they so choose. We'll be back in just a moment with a COVID AMA in a minute on AirTalk.